Hello and welcome to Weekly Beats, the podcast in which two guys give you their perspective on the week in music. My name is Charlie.
Hi there. My name is Mark.
And we are here to give you the first of 2017's EP roundups. I know it's been quite some time since we've had one of these trips down the collection lane. Usually we're talking about albums, but sometimes these little releases pop up over the course of the year, and we want to cover those things too. So this week we are discussing Paradise by Anoni, Young Martha by Young Thug and Carnage, and Alice Glass by the titular Alice Glass. We will also be discussing the latest Billboard Hot 100 hit. As you know, our good friend Post Malone is back in the picture, and his mega hit song that is called something, as I'm pulling it up on the website here.
Definitely called something.
It's called something. Rockstar. Rockstar by Post Malone featuring 21 Savage will be the topic of our discussion in the back half of the program. Do be sure to stick around for that. I'm sure it's going to be as interesting as the last time we talked about him.
Uh-huh. Which is extremely interesting.
Yes, extremely interesting. Mark, glad to see Anoni is back with us this week. She made it.
Yeah. Oh, hey, Anoni.
She hasn't said a word to either of us.
It's kind of mean mugging.
She's not very happy to be here.
No, I don't think she's really happy to be anywhere.
No, that's the sense I get all the time.
Oh, what? It looks like she has a series of flags. Okay, she has like five flags per hand, the little mini flags. Okay, she appears to be waving them in a celebratory fashion, or maybe she's retreating from a military action. I can't tell.
Is it like she's trying to communicate some form of language?
Yeah, she's spinning. She's spinning.
Mm.
She's spinning. Oh, she stopped. She's done. She sat down.
Okay. I think that means we can talk about her EP.
Okay.
We have her permission. Let's talk Paradise. This has been out for a hot minute now, certainly some time. An important follow-up to last year's huge album, Hopelessness. You and I both talked about that thing. And while I maybe wasn't as big a fan of the album as you were, neither one of us could deny the mega hits on that thing, particularly Drone Bomb Me and 4 Degrees, which were just megalithic songs on the year in music 2016. So we come into Paradise here, asking for maybe how is she going to either continue that sound or expand upon it, maybe tweak it in some ways. This cover art here is, I think, equally upsetting as the cover art that's on the front cover of Hopelessness. She's really good at picking out images that just kind of leave you unsettled. Mm-hmm.
She opened this thing with a pretty strongly worded letter. Are you familiar with this letter, Mark?
I'm not. Okay, I'm trying to... Paradise... She wrote some angry letter in which she criticized men. I want to read a little bit from this.
Okay.
I just for it's throwing this out here for conversation. This is heavy. She opens with a couple lyrics from the track Paradise and says, "My mother's love, her gentle touch, my father's hands rest in my throat." Gesundheit.
I didn't realize
Anoni's lyrics gave you nose indigestion.
Well, when I think of a father's hands, my nose gets a tickling.
Yeah. She says, "Our new leaders hope to crush our spirits and expedite ecocide in the name of virulent progress, consumerism, and false security. Like jihadis, many capitalists and Christians compulsively seek to facilitate a righteous holy war or apocalypse. For millennia, men have enslaved women and attempted to appropriate female creative power, recasting themselves as gods and creators. This assault continues today in the forms of ruthless wealth and mineral extraction, genetic engineering, mass surveillance, and warmongering. But as Donald Trump and his cabinet now demonstrate, their skills encouraged in men by their biologies and the tools that boys master in the playground have not equipped them to deal with the unprecedented global crisis we are now facing. Mothers, your sons are trapped in a nightmare. They are not capable of responsibly negotiating the destructive agency that they now wield. more profound even than a crime against humanity. Fathers and sons now compulsively prepare to commit ecocide in a final and irreversible assault upon creation itself. Only an intervention by women around the world with their innate knowledge of interdependency, deep listening, empathy, and self-sacrifice could possibly alter our species' desperate course.
Wow.
That's a loaded statement, man.
That's a very loaded statement.
I feel like, you know, she, Anoni has never shied away from controversy, from speaking her mind and putting out controversial ideas. But I think she got a bit of flack for this. I think, you know, those that would paint themselves as feminists would argue for the equality of both genders. And I feel like this thing is pretty explicitly anti-men.
Yeah, well, if nothing,
it's tough to kind of unpack this and talk about it.
Right. I actually think the fingerprints too, like of that message are pretty outright in the EP. And I think a statement like that is so buried in its own rhetoric that like an actual consistent ideology or course of action, it would be really difficult to actually, I don't know, like I need some clarification here on what exactly it is, what exactly her purpose is there. This female call to arms. What is to do what? You know what I mean?
To save the planet?
How? Like that's my question. How?
Yeah, I don't know. And I don't get a strong sense from this track. It just seems like more heavy themes and pretty stark stuff, which is not to say I dislike this EP. You know, like, let's get that straight. This is pretty much a continuation of her sound. There are no big bangers on this thing in the way that the previous one rocked my core with those opening two tracks. But I do think she continues her knack for solid production. There's some captivating lyrics on this thing, some actually really good vocal melodies. I think this thing is pretty solid as an EP. It's a great continuation, a little like Coda after Hopelessness from last year.
Right. And do you happen to know if every one of these songs is co-authored by Hudson Mohawk?
I have no idea.
I know at least a few of them are, because I saw his name in the production credits when I was looking at this online. And I feel like their sounds mesh pretty easily, in that if you were to listen to either one of these artists independently of the other and then listen to this, you would hear like a natural continuation of both of them in this EP. I think, like, for Anoni, she's missing a little more of the just out front straight bass, you know, brass heavy stuff that we love so much in that last album.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little more electronic, I think, because of Hudson Mohawk. But at the same time, it just kind of sounds like more Anoni. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Paradise is definitely in line with everything that she's ever written.
Yeah, let's talk about Paradise. It's the title track here, and I think most clearly the strongest single of the bunch, if you want to think of it that way. It's the one that is maybe most in line with some of those big hits. Let's play a little bit of Paradise. There's that line.
Yeah. I was kind of, without having listened to that letter, I was kind of wondering how personal versus how much of an abstract representation of, like, gender violence was there.
Yeah.
And now I feel a little like I have a clearer idea, maybe, of what that line is actually about. Can I make a controversial statement?
Sure.
You're an asshole. No, that's not controversial.
It's widely agreed upon by all and many.
I think there are so many artists who end their big statement with, this group or us here together need to stand together to stop blank.
Yeah.
and that doesn't mean anything. Politicians say it, but when politicians say it, they at least have a, like, generally speaking, they have policies behind whatever it is that they're, you know, waxing philosophic about, yeah. right? I think saying, here is a problem, we need to stand together to stop the problem, is the equivalent yeah. of the thoughts and prayers thing. It really doesn't mean mm-hmm. anything. And if you're not offering a course of action, even a hint of one, or some sort of, you know, first step, or A or B to C, why even say it at all? It doesn't really mean anything.
Yeah. You're sick of empty words. You want action.
Yeah. I'm sick of empty walls, too. I've been listening to that song over and over. That. I'm so tired of it.
It's a great track. We should cover that song.
Empty walls.
Okay, this is not amateur karaoke hour. We got to move on. That's really good. That's a good impression. We should take this on the road.
I think we should. And that's when we went down America, down to the heartland. Serge Tankian 2 for you.
Yes. Yes. Also, if I am someone that also stands against ecocide, am I allowed to like this song or am I not allowed to, since she's christened women as being the only ones that can stop the ecocide?
You know what? I don't even understand what exactly she means by ecocide. Like, these are very complicated issues, you know, and they deserve complicated.
She says
responses.
Ecocide twice in that letter.
Because that's one of those words that a noni can't stop thinking about. It's all she's got.
Okay. You got to stop talking about her like she's not in this room. She's looking at you.
I'm going to say that right. Oh, she's waving one of her flags at me very vigorously.
Oh, no. It's the angry flag.
Do you hear
that? But here's kind of the thing. You know, like, I'm thinking back also to when Pitchfork was announcing their best of lists last year. Mm. And Anoni published something about how she didn't. Yeah, how she didn't get on the one lists for best electronic album for the year or something. Like, did they forget that they gave me this great score back when my album came out? Did they forget about that? Well, I haven't forgotten about my music or the message, and clearly everyone else needs to know about it too. And Pitchfork had to be like, yo, Anoni, we haven't published our list yet. You're probably in the top 10. Like, it's a really good album. We like it a lot. It's just we couldn't really categorize it in this way. So yeah. We chose not to. Like, we don't want to put you in a box like that. Sorry, you got mad that we didn't give you the score that you wanted or, like, the public attention. Like, that was, like, yeah. I think, really awkward.
That was very awkward.
For someone that has talked about a really heavy issues, put herself out there as being someone that's going to talk about the heavy stuff that needs to be conversed about, shine a spotlight on hypocrisies and ways that we need to be better as a civilization. And then to sink to some of that petty stuff, I was kind of like, man, that does put a little tarnish in the shine.
And what makes that especially upsetting for me in particular is that not only did she was like representing, you know, she talks about global warming in a way that's a little more frank than other artists who say, don't hurt the earth. You know, it felt a little more of a charged attack. So for her to then use and specifically about gender violence, you know, she gets into some of that stuff too. And in a pretty big and explicit way. And then for her to use that, like, it almost cheapens her message. You know what I mean? For her to be like, well, because you don't consider me a dance artist, well, then frankly, like, do you even care about my message? Like, it almost makes it harder to take her seriously when she talks about things. Like, she's representing, you know, global warming advocacy. When she's concerned about not winning the top spot in the EDM list for one website, you know?
Right, right.
If the message is so important, why are you putting yourself ahead of it that much?
Yeah, you shouldn't care about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And it also doesn't make sense.
Yeah, yeah.
She was in the top 10, if I remember correctly.
Right. Yeah, she definitely was. Oh, man. We got some pretty powerful song titles on this thing. Jesus Will Kill You is pretty controversial, I think.
Yeah.
Or You Are My Enemy. She's channeling some Rage Against the Machine there.
Yeah.
You know, these things, they're not sonically challenging in the way that some of the tracks on her other album were. I'm thinking of stuff like Obama.
Yeah.
That was, like, really dirgy and guttural and heavy. And these, I think, lyrically are in the same sort of space, but sonically they're I think more in tune with some of the lesser tracks on Hopelessness. They're not really as bombastic as I would like them to be.
Yeah, and I think the way in which she was very considerate of like the sounds of words. So when she's writing these songs that come across a little bit like an essay, she still has the rhythm of her essay sort of intact in that first album. And here a little bit, I think it's a little more direct. It's a little less thoughtful. specifically in the track where she's talking about her father's hands and she starts going into it, or You Are My Enemy. There's very little, like, there's very little beauty or poetry in the music here in a way that there was in the last album. And as a result, it kind of comes across a little more like a rant.
Yeah. I think one thing that she did great that made something like 4 Degrees so great and moving as a song was that she embraced the hyperbole of it all.
Yeah.
By not saying, like, the earth is sacred, protect the earth. She was saying, like, no, destroy the earth. I want to see it at the absolute brink before it all goes wrong.
Yeah.
That was like, whoa, I don't want that. You know, it's a startling thing to say. Same with Drone Bomb Me. She indulges in the worst possible atrocities taking place, but it's complicated by this immaculate orchestral, horn-filled arrangement that's backing behind it. And that juxtaposition is what makes her music so compelling. These are not channeling the same sort of energy in that way. It's more of the just kind of, here's my stance on this issue, I'm going to tell you about it.
And not only that, but even in a track like Jesus Will Kill You, which, I don't know, at least for me, kind of sounds like an ugly Nine Inch Nails track, like some Nine Inch Nails like album track. It's almost her protest. Well, I feel like it's directed at the Trump administration, one would assume.
Sure.
But if you take it in a vacuum, the anger is just too vague, and it's so shapeless that you can't really apply it to any one figure that easily.
And I feel like if she was someone that was, you know, strong enough to call out Obama directly to name a song after him, like, why not do the same here?
Exactly. Right? One song for each cabinet member that's been fired.
Yeah. There you go. There's your concept album.
That would be amazing.
I can't wait to hear
Sean Spicer.
You stood at your podium and you shouted at us. Who's shouting now?
Melissa McCarthy should make a guest vocal in the track.
That would be a lot of fun. Conversely, I think sonically, Ricochet is a ton of fun on this thing.
It's very reminiscent of 4 Degrees.
That might be the best. It might be the best sounding song on this EP.
Yeah.
Let's play a little bit of Ricochet. Making me like this, point of consciousness. When I die and go, I find I carry on. I'm gonna hate you. I think it's a really strong vocal hook for the chorus, man. That's really good.
Yeah, it sticks around a little bit long, maybe. I mean, it's got that 4 Degrees thing where it just bounces back to that over and over. And that first chorus, I felt like I was really sitting there for a few minutes. But I do agree with you, generally speaking, though. There's some really neat stuff in that track, especially the use of those sort of like yelping, kind of screaming backup vocals as the rhythm of the song, like as the rhythm instrument.
Yeah.
I think is a really strong choice.
For sure. There's some spoken word exit here. I'll say that I just had my Spotify shuffle on afterward, and the spoken word outro went straight into Drone Bomb Me, and it was pretty sublime.
Wow.
That was really nice, the way that thing slid into that. I think the desperation of that into a song that's all full of desperation, but it's also like bombastic and beautiful, was quite good. So I think some people might see this as like the extra tracks tacked on at the end of Hopelessness, but it might work really well as the intro to Hopelessness.
Wow.
You know, like the gear up into the dark abyss.
Yeah.
How paradise becomes hopelessness.
I can see that. I can see that.
Yeah.
Very fun experience for all.
Yeah, as always, Anoni knows how to keep them chuckling, keep those laugh meters rising, man.
The laugh meter?
Yeah, you know, the laugh meter, the general metric scaling of humor.
Mm-hmm.
Laughs versus attempts and all that.
Yeah, I'm very familiar. The mathematics of laughter.
Every time she cracks a joke, you know you're going to make a laugh.
I'm going to make a laugh right now. Ha ha!
Ha ha!
Ooh, nice laugh.
All right. Thank you. Highlights, what are you taking?
I'm only going to take one. I understand. I think you made some really great points about Ricochet, but I do think Paradise is a little more, it's a little less repetitive. I like.
A little more complete as a statement.
Exactly, exactly. So I'm going to have to stick with Paradise for my pick.
All right. Well, I'm picking two. I'm taking Paradise and Ricochet because I'm a better person than you.
Probably.
And Noni likes me more.
Oh, look,
yeah, that's right. She's waving her flag at me.
Yeah, she got
that's her happy flag.
A little golden flag. Look at, she's smiling.
It's the first time I've ever seen her smile. All right, segue into Young Thug and Carnage. We got four tracks here off Young Martha. This is the first time I've talked Young Thug with you.
I'm pretty excited about it.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm excited to see what you think.
You've been talking up Jeffrey forever. You've been talking about how Young Thug is like the trap guy, how he's got his like hands on different stuff than everybody else.
Yeah, that's true.
And man, I put on Homie featuring Meek Mill.
Mm-hmm.
This song bumps, dude. This song is so good.
It's pretty good.
It's really, really good. Let's play a little bit of Homie. That's pretty hype right there.
That's pretty good.
That's a pretty good opener to a four-song EP, man. If you got four songs, you got to make a good first impression, yep. And I think that is how you do it.
Did you find listening to this EP that it's a little spooky? It's got a lot of church organ in it, 10,000
yeah.
Slimes. It's like Goosebumps spooky or something.
Like the good-natured haunted house, where they're out to spook you. But not too much, you know?
Yeah.
I want you to have a good time.
Yeah, there's no scary, like, yelling or shrieking or anything, like we'll get
yeah.
to maybe in the one after this. But it's a very, like, you know, viewer beware, you're in for a scare kind of deal.
Yeah, the Crypt Keeper. But in the album cover, has got that kind of, like, old wallpaper thing with, like, the portrait. And it's, like, one of those things, like, it was in the hallway, like, their heads would, like, follow you as you walk past them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I totally get that. Haunted house stuff for sure.
Yeah. Is that Carnage on that hook there?
Honestly, dude, I that's not Young Thug, but they have Meek Mill
right.
there too. So I don't know either of them so good, so I can't tell you.
I'm going to assume it's Carnage. I might be wrong. I know Carnage is the beats to these tracks, but I'm going to assume that's him doing the thing there.
Okay.
That's rad. I love when anyone gets riled up. Reminds me of someone kind of like Assassin.
Yeah.
Doing their heavy sort of patois thing there. I love anything with that. Get super hyped.
Yeah.
This thing is like, okay. This could be something good, you know?
Yeah.
This is how you want to get me into something. Mm-hmm. And then we go right into Liger, and we just keep them coming, man.
Mm-hmm.
I think this one is also really good.
Yeah.
I'm going to play some Liger. So immediately I'm getting everything that I've been lacking in the traps that we've been talking about on the show on a regular basis. We got the hook, we got the beat, we got the lyrics, we got the swagger, we got the production, the fact that he comes and starts singing the second half of that chorus,
yeah.
man, and how he's going to go get a liger because everybody else got a tiger. That's funky. That's creative. It's different.
Yeah.
This I love that organ in the background. That is like, oh, this is a great track.
It's
a ton of fun.
It's got a little touch of LP in there, doesn't it?
Totally. Yeah.
I actually like Liger a lot. That's going to be one of my highlights. I'll tell you that right now, because
for sure.
I do think lyrically it's sometimes it gets hung up on some kind of clumsy ideas. I feel that Young Thug's obsession with talking about getting blown in his music to be super off-putting. Like, it never comes across like fun or like, I don't know. He's like, yeah, I love having sex. It always comes across a little aggressive and weird to me.
Yeah, yeah.
I still get caught up on that here. It's just like a weird thing to hear someone talk about in the way that he does. But I think this track's a lot of fun, too. I love the beat. Carnage is writing the beats, you said?
As far as I know, yeah.
That's great. And I love when Young Thug gets into his Yelp singing. When it fits, man.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, we've seen plenty of folks try to sing on the Billboard Hot 100, but they're just lacking in personality or creativity, and I think this has got both of them. This is totally, like, how to do it right.
Yeah, so did Young Thug's last album. I was ready for this to actually not be very good, because I, if you remember right, I hated that last album.
Young Thugger Girls, yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was just super immature. The beats just all felt exactly the same. I felt that he was lyrically at his very worst. And I don't know. These tracks, I don't think they're very thoughtful. I don't think they're very inventive. I don't think they say as much about a moment in time as Jeffrey did. But I got to say, these are really, really good. And I like how trap dips into pop in this, especially in the last track, Don't Call Me. I think it does a really great job of just being super accessible, but kind of also what you want out of trap music at the same time.
Let's play a little bit from Don't Call Me. So we're getting into that like Justin Bieber-esque pop stuff where they pull the vocals out of the chorus and just let the EDM stuff do its work.
Yeah, I was feeling it.
This is a really solid 4-song EP, man. If you're going to drop 4 songs, this is a pretty good way to do it.
That's what I'm saying.
All killer, no filler, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and no like need to have this really long expression and have all these tracks that just don't go anywhere. It just kind of sounds like the last one. I like that. I want a little more of this in my life.
This has really lit my fire to get me into Young Thug. I'm thinking like, man, I gotta check some more of this stuff out because this is exactly what I was missing.
Yeah, that sounds good.
I got to get back on that Jeffrey, back on that Barter 6, you know?
Yeah. Oh, man. I'm excited to hear that. And just to avoid Beautiful Thugger Girls altogether. Just totally forget that.
I think I will.
Just forget it happened.
Word.
All right.
This thing rocks. I'm taking Homie and Liger as my highlights off this thing.
Okay. Very interesting, because I'm going to take Liger and I'm going to take Don't Call Me, because I love that transition to pop music right there. I think it works really well.
Yeah. Yeah. 10,000 Slimes is brushed over, but it's also a pretty solid track.
It's the most goosebump track of all.
I think the weakest of the four, but, you know, can't complain.
Charlie, when we agree, we truly agree.
When you're right, you're right. I am more intrigued maybe to see your thoughts on this Alice Glass EP. I don't have the background with Crystal Castles that you do. But nonetheless, excited to listen to some Alice Glass. Mm-hmm. Was kind of taken by surprise here because this thing opens up with a track, Without Love, which feels very much like a Purity Ring style song.
Yeah.
With the sort of like trip hop vocals and the production underneath it all. Really a dead ringer for whoever the lead singer Purity Ring is.
Mm-hmm.
Really sounds very much like one of their tracks. And I got to say, I was really into it. I liked it quite a bit. I think it's a pretty good opener. After that, things become far more abstract, far more angry, to the point where on tracks like Natural Selection, she is screaming through auto-tune here. Some pretty violent expressions. This is a candidate for Charlie's scariest surprise of the year here.
Nice.
I think the track Natural Selection is not one that I want to actively listen to again if I can help it.
Yeah. It's like, I got to get you to listen to that Pharmacon album, like, in full.
Oh, no. No. That's the winner. It's already won. I'm too scared to even think about the album cover, let alone listen to it.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Actually, I meant to mention this to you. She's actually releasing a surprise single, and she's going to release it from a speaker hidden in your room at some point.
Time. I can't imagine a worse fate. Talk to me about this thing. How you feeling about Alice Glass?
I think I actually really agree with where you're coming at, where it just seems to change. Like, what I felt with listening to Without Love, all I listened to was that, and I thought, wow, this is really interesting. It's like,
yeah,
if you took the Crystal Castles vocalist and she decided to make the transition to whatever that band would look like if it became straight up pop. And I guess you're right. Yeah. It really would just kind of be Purity Ring.
Purity
huh?
Ring. It's pretty close.
It's really close to Purity Ring. That's a great point. But after that, every track feels like a different band that influenced or was influenced by Crystal Castles. So it's like, Forgiveness kind of sounds like that EDM that kind of was like would play in like a Hotline Miami level, you know, and Natural Selection sounds to me like Pharmacon. Blood Oath sounds like Cap Bambino or You Love Her Cause She's Dead. These like very goth, like it's the most goth song imaginable.
Yeah.
And it's almost like she just kind of threw out the CP. It was like, so which one of these did you guys want? Did you guys want the accessible one or the real rough one? You pick. I have some options.
Well, I think she is kind of taking her listeners for a ride because Without Love was the lead single off this thing. And so everyone going into it is kind of like, oh, yeah, some more of that. And then halfway through it, they're like, this is not that at all. This is a very different thing.
Yep.
Let's play a little bit of Without Love to contextualize this. I think production is really strong on this thing, and it sounds great.
It's a real spook fest this week.
Yeah, let's play some of that scary stuff off Natural Selection. That's frightening.
Yeah, it's a scary song. That's true.
I think she's going for some interesting stuff there with the auto-tune vocals that feel like they're totally out of whack coming through this thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I love it. I don't think it works well. I'm reminded of just like really bad examples of auto-tune not working at all, of someone that has absolutely no singing ability whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And just throwing on the auto-tune at the hope of getting it to come together. I'm actually thinking a lot about the album put out by Farah Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know about this? I've talked to you about this, right?
I'm not sure.
She's the teen mom that put out an album.
Okay.
And it's atrocious.
Uh-oh.
Let me play a little bit from the opening track called The Phone Call That Changed My Life.
Wow.
So that's track one.
I'm rended by that.
And so I think when she, Alice Glass, that is, goes into those extreme vocalizations with the auto tuning and the fuzziness underneath it, it ends up sounding a bit closer to that than I think she means it to. And
yeah.
I kind of tune out with that stuff.
I actually agree with you. I think there are some pretty noticeable like production issues in that song in particular, and occasionally throughout the album, where having something that atonal, I think, demands a really, you actually, people just say like noise music is just literally noise, but there is some design to it. And I feel like this sounds like just some really obvious decisions without someone smart enough to make it sound kind of organic. Like when we're talking about Pharmacon, when she's making these really scary, awful soundscapes, they're not, they're designed to really creep you out and make you uncomfortable. And they sound organic. They sound wet. Like they, something about them sounds wrong. And I think just throwing this auto-tune, mixing these kind of shrieky sounds a little over the vocals, it just doesn't make me as uncomfortable as that other stuff, and it just kind of sounds bad.
Yeah. To be honest with you, I haven't spent a whole lot of time with this thing, but Without Love seems to be the one track that I keep coming back to. The rest of this stuff gets more experimental, more challenging, but not in a way that I really like to spend a whole lot of time with. I don't know if you have other tracks on here that you're feeling strongly about.
You know what? I would love it if you'd do me a favor and just anywhere in the track, give me a little bit of forgiveness, because I think that track's super cool.
You know what? That's the other one I was thinking about. Maybe I'll change my mind on this one. Let's listen to this.
Okay.
Here's Forgiveness. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, and I hate to say it, but you take those vocals out, you got your Hotline Miami track ready to go.
Yeah. Man, that's some nighttime driving right there.
Yeah.
Nighttime driving in the city.
You know what I do like about this EP on the whole? Because I have to agree with you. As someone who was kind of like, I had expectations for this, I was excited about it. This like making something as weird and kind of intense at times as Crystal Castles into a little maybe more of a pop space, or just some any other space really than it was in.
I
do feel like it's on some uneven footing, especially in the production, but I love this. So goth. It's goth as hell. This whole EP is the most goth. This is like the return of goth, and I'm ready for it.
Yeah, it's real goth.
Give me some eyeliner and I'll slam my hands sort of non-committally onto a keyboard, a synthesizer, and I'll just be goth, and we'll all be happy. The world will be a happier place.
I agree. What are your highlights?
I'm going to take Forgiveness because I think it's very cool, and I'm going to throw you a little bit of a curveball here, and I'm going to pick Blood Oath because
what?
I like Blood. I like Blood Oath.
You love goth.
I'm goth now.
It's been a 2-2 on the night, so let's make it 3-2s. I'll take Without Love, and I'm going to take Forgiveness too. I'm feeling generous. I'll throw in that way too, because that chorus is a banger.
I feel like this series of reviews, more than any, proves our review system is not a star system.
Yes, this is not a 2-star EP.
How would you rank these three EPs?
Let's go from worst to best: Alice Glass, Paradise, Young Martha.
Oh man, interesting. Because
Young Martha is better than Paradise. You can take that to the bank.
You know what? And I'll go right with you to the bank. But I gotta put Paradise below this, though. I like Without Love better than Paradise.
Oh really?
Yeah, it's not even a difficult choice. I didn't have as many problems as you did, I don't think.
Noni's shaking that flag at you again.
I'm a little nervous.
We know who's taking her home tonight. And by taking her home, I mean driving her back to her apartment where she lives, and will stare at us from outside her window.
Yeah, she's got like a soil bed.
Yeah.
Did you notice that?
Totally eco-friendly. Yeah. All right, that's the EPs. That's the roundup.
Wow, we finally did it.
We finally did it. It's great to get back on these smaller things. It's good that you've got your eye on these smaller releases. We can't forget about the little guys. It's easy to get overwhelmed by the big releases. We gotta take time for the little guys.
That's my motto. Take time for the little guys.
All right. Well, let's take a little break for the little guys. And when we come back, we'll talk about Post Malone's latest sensation on the Billboard Hot 100. So stay tuned.
Myself here.
All right, Mark, we are back and ready to talk about both Post Malone and 21 Savage. It hasn't been enough for us to talk about both these guys separate. They had to unite their powers and bring out the worst in each other for what is sure to be another thrilling edition of the Billboard Hot 100.
Oh, wait, sorry. Give me one second.
No, we have to talk about this now. We have to talk about this atrocity on music right now.
You know,
it's not enough. It's not enough for them to release singles apiece. They've got to unite their powers together and bring about the end of our music appreciation. How excited are you to listen to Rockstar?
21 out of 100. Boom!
Come on.
Oh, sorry.
Here we go.
Fucking hoes and popping pillies, man, I feel just like a rock star. All my brothers got that gas and they always be smoking like a rock star. Fucking with me, call up on no Uzi and show up, man, them the shot.
Well, there he is, our boy from Syracuse, New York.
There, I've been waiting. I missed him. I love Syracuse.
I remember a couple years ago, this is probably like, you know, 10, 12 years ago now at this point.
Mm-hmm.
When Nickelback put out the song Rockstar.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember thinking, like, man, how thick do you have to be in a rock band and sing about how you want to be a rock star? Like,
yeah.
And all of it was just misogynistic and awful. And I remember people singing along, like, yeah, that's what we all want. And I'm like, no, it's not. None of this sounds appealing to me. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
But we had to go along with it because Nickelback was singing it in the year 2006. And here's Post Malone he's pulling a Nickelback on us, man.
Did you ever hear the Jimmy Eat World song, Rockstar?
No.
That's a weird one. It was before they had the vocalist they do now. So, like, it sounds totally different. Just fun side note.
The laugh at the beginning of the song is annotated on Genius.
Oh, good. That's very exciting. Can I also just quickly mention as a side, we do have a third guest, which is my cat.
Aw.
She will be joining us for this 30-second breakdown. She will be contributing to the conversation.
Does she also have her own set of flags that she can wave depending on her mood?
She just raises one paw in acceptance and two in defiance.
Okay. Well, the annotation for the laugh reads, in an interview with Pigeons and Planes, producer Tank God confirmed this laugh belonged to Post Malone, P&P. At the beginning of the song, is that eerie laugh a recording of Post, or is that a sample? Tank God. Yeah, that's Post. Laughs.
Wow, what a trademark. He laughs.
He got it in there.
So, okay, what is he communicating with this laugh, do you think? Like, he's just having such a good time? He doesn't care?
I'm a rock star, baby.
Who's the Tank God?
He's the production.
Okay. Can you imagine a more generic way to introduce that you're a rock star than you have sex with women and do drugs?
I've been having sex with so many women, doing so many drugs, man. I feel like a rock star, baby.
This is the song Post Malone was born to write.
Yeah. I got to say, production sounds pretty good, though. I kind of like the beat. I kind of like the vocal melody.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, too. I didn't find anything to take too deep of an issue with in that first clip there.
All right. Let's get to the point where Post Malone starts rapping, and see if it changes our opinion. My guess, it probably will. When my homies pull up on your block, they make that thing go gratatata. Switch my whip, came back in black, I'm starting saying recipes to Bon Scott. Close that door, we blowing smoke, she asked me light a fire like a Mars song. Act a fool on stage, probably leave my fucking show in a cop car. Was legendary through a TV out the window of the montage. He's still doing more of that thing?
Yep, definitely was the same as just now, for sure.
At this point, though, you should know we're already into the verse. So that's the chorus and also the verse. It's just the exact same thing. That's cheating, man. You can't just do that the whole song.
Yeah, what actually made that? I didn't even notice the transition.
Because there was no transition.
Yeah. He's cheating at songs.
Yeah. So we got this chorus. Show up, name them the Shottas. When my homies pull up on your block, they make that thing go rat tat tat pow 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 a.
Mm-hmm.
Genius. Shottas are loyal gangsters who you can call upon to commit violence. The term was popularized by the 2002 Jamaican movie of the same name, which is a drama about two young men involved in organized crime in Kingston, Jamaica, and Miami, Florida. Loyalty is one of the film's key themes.
I like his little filmic analysis that we got added in there.
Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty boring.
He's calling out a lot of famous musicians here. Rest in peace to Bon Scott. She asked me to light a fire like a Morrison. Yeah?
I think of all the... of all the people this year for the Hot 100 that we've covered, I think Post Malone is the person I would least like to see in concert.
Yeah. So Jim Morrison was arrested on stage, this time in Miami, for exposing his genitals to the crowd.
Hmm.
And Post sports the faces of music legends tattooed on his fingers. After he talked about adding Jim Morrison to one of them, Post said in a GC interview, "Without these guys, I wouldn't be making music right now."
Without which guys?
Those guys.
Which ones?
He doesn't specify. They're famous musicians that he's got on his fingers.
Oh, okay. So, what hell hath they wrought? Did you actually already identify who the people were on the tattoo?
No, it doesn't say.
You know what? I actually think I have to...
You gotta do some BI work here.
Yeah, I think I gotta do my own. Actually, PM, please. Post Malone research.
Okay. Some PMPI. They're not PIMP.
They're on his fingers?
They're on his fingers.
All right. Post Malone finger tattoos. Oh, there's a video, and I feel like this always goes super well.
Oof.
All right. It's from that GQ interview. We're just gonna listen to a clip from that GQ interview. So what's gonna happen?
Let's see it in action.
Okay, here we go.
I mean, all of these really are just spur of the moment. I was on the internet and I was like, you know what, this is tight. Let's go. Justin Bieber was the guy that inspired me to get tattoos because he was in the studio and I was like, hey man, does that hurt? Because that's when I just had first met him and he was like, no.
Think about all the years of musical inspiration at hand. That's the story.
That's the whole video?
No, but that's the intro to the video. Justin Bieber goes in the studio. Post Malone notices he has tattoos. He said, hey, does that hurt? And Justin Bieber said, no.
Dude.
Okay. I shouldn't have stopped to digress there. I'll keep going.
Okay.
Well, my first tattoo was this Playboy bunny right here. I was playing basketball with Justin Bieber, and while it was healing, and he just messed up the whole thing. But it still looks kind of tight. It looks like magma. Justin did apologize, but he's going to have to buy me a new one.
I don't understand this man.
Yeah. He just seems like he really likes Justin Bieber.
I would rather hang out with Justin Bieber than Post Malone. That's a fact. Why? Justin Bieber is probably going to get me into a pool party at DJ Khaled's house, and I really want to go to that spot.
That's true. Also, Justin Bieber has been known to be, you remember that Chris D'Elia bit where Justin Bieber saw his comedy and just gave him a compliment. You know, that's positive.
He's a likable guy.
I don't know about that.
He's spreading positive vibes.
What do you think Justin Bieber did to Post Malone to mess up his tattoo?
He probably drew it with crayon. And they were like, that doesn't even look right.
Yes.
Bieber's like, gotcha, it's crayon. Post Malone was like, oh man, he got me with that one. He messed it up.
I wouldn't be doing music right here if it wasn't for this messed up Bieber tattoo.
All right, let's keep on going. Cocaine on the table, lick a pond, don't give a damn. Dude, your girlfriend is a groovy, she just trying to get in. Saying I'm with the band. Ay, ay, now she acting out of pocket, trying to grab up on my pants. 100 bitches in my trailer, said I ain't got a man. And they all brought a friend. Yeah, ay. I've been fucking hoes and popping pillies, man, I feel just like a rock star. He feels like a rock star.
It's like the music just kind of dropped out there for a minute.
Yeah, that's the end.
Oh, good.
Does anyone say poppin' pillies?
I think this like trust fund rap kid certainly does. I don't even think he's a trust fund baby, but he has all of the vibes of someone who is.
Yeah.
The mental image of Post Malone playing a game of basketball at Justin Bieber is very funny to me. I imagine it's a lot of people shooting three-pointers that don't hit.
We got to talk about some of these lyrics.
Okay.
Now she acting out of pocket, trying to grab up on my pants. 100 bitches in my trailer say they ain't got a man, and they all bought a friend. Yeah.
Yeah.
Break it down for me, genius. I'm with the band is a phrase groupies use to get past security. It's so ubiquitous that one of rock's most notorious groupies, Pamela DeBarge, named her 1987 tell-all memoir after it. In the book, she recounted her drug-fueled sexual escapades in the 1960s rock world, including her affairs with rock stars like Keith Moon of The Who, Jimmy Page of Led Zeppelin, and Mick Jagger of the Rolling Stones. DeBarge's story epitomized the stereotypical groovy lifestyle that Post Malone describes here.
That's a total tangent.
It's just giving me detail about some lady's autobiography.
Yeah.
There's no reference to that at all in this thing.
It's completely useless. I mean, you could pull out any word or phrase that is tied to another person and just write about that person. It's not necessary.
I feel just like a rock star. The original term for rock and roll originated from rocking and rolling, a popular dance move of the time, and rock stars utilized this new intriguing genre of music to rise to insane popularity.
Insane popularity.
Never before had such regular human beings acquired such irresponsible wealth and fame.
This is a very confusing thesaurus entry.
In a matter of moments, they had truly captured the nation's attention and spread their filth and lies to the young minds of society.
Where did you buy this encyclopedia? It seems weird.
It's the conservative encyclopedia.
This intriguing method of song and dance, rock and roll.
It's a bit too flashy for me, if you know what I'm saying. I prefer the old way of doing songs, the swing tunes.
Oh, yeah? What's your favorite swing tune?
In the Mood by Glenn Miller.
Oh, my God. That's so funny you say that. When I took piano lessons, I had to learn piano by playing In the Mood a variety of ways. Yeah. So I played the song In the Mood in, like, every key. And isn't that... So I mean, it's a song about someone being horny. Like if you call In the Mood, I feel horny. It improves dramatically, I found.
Yeah, but they weren't allowed to say things like that back in the 30s.
That's true. But I want you to think about that tune in your head again, but with the words, I feel really horny right now. It's different.
Yeah. It's a little different. It's a different color in my hair when I hear it that way.
different color in your hair. What do you mean?
Let's keep going. All my brothers got that gas and they always be smoking like a rock star. Fucking with me, call up on the Uzi and show up, man, them the shot toss. When my homies pull up on your block, they make that thing go gratatata. I've been in the hills, fucking superstars, feeling like a pop star. Drinking Henny, bad bitches jumping in the pool, and I ain't got on no bra. Okay, so somehow this thing is functioning at the lowest energy possible level, right? So it's just like cruising along, nice and chill, very low energy. And then 21 Savage comes in, and it just bottoms out. Like, there's nothing there. Did you feel that?
It sounds like, I felt like he's like a friend who comes in a party, is like, hey, guys. Hey.
And he's got to get those 21s in there. 21, 21, 21. Did you know that it's no stretch of the imagination that 21 is big enough to be a pop star since he achieved major success? On his July 2017 hit, Bank Account, he bragged about having $8 million to his name and buying a house in the hills. Mm-hmm. Straight up out the six. Now I got a house in the hills, dog. Remember when he used to say things like, I'm a dog, you're a dog, you're a real dog, I'm a real dog, be a dog, wanna be a dog.
I do remember that.
That was a good lyric.
That was the song Feeling Like a Dog.
Yeah. Here now he's saying he's feeling like a pop star.
But if he is a pop star, it's kind of redundant.
Okay, over under, how many times are you going to say 21 in this verse?
As a guess?
Yeah. Over under, let's say 8 times.
I'm going to say over, because if he did it in threes that time, so it's got to be in threes.
Yeah, you gotta get to at least 9, right?
Yeah.
Okay, let's keep listening to this guy. Hit the front of back, pulling on the tracks, and now she's screaming out, no more. They like, Savage, why you got a 12-car garage, and you only got 6 cars? I ain't with the cake, and how you kiss that? Your wifey say I'm looking like a whole snap. Green honey's in my safe, I got old racks. LA bitches always asking where the coke at. Living like a rock star, smash out on a cop car, sweeter than a pop tart. You know you are not hard.
I'm sure I'm not hard.
Did you know that a pop tart is a pre-baked toaster pastry? It's hard on the outside, but soft and gooey on the inside.
Oh no! I thought that was a fun drug thing.
No, they got a nice picture of some strawberry pop tarts here.
You know what? I might actually have to look at the annotation myself just so I can get a good wow. Strawberries.
Well, I could go for a Pop-Tart right now.
Are you a Pop-Tart? You seem like the kind of guy to be a Pop-Tart fan.
Dude, no joke. There was a time in my life where I was hardcore addicted to Pop-Tarts.
Addicted to Pop-Tarts.
Yeah. Like, back in high school,
uh-huh.
That was my breakfast every single morning. No joke. Every morning, wake up, have my Pop-Tarts.
Oh, man. Well, how do you feel about them now as an adult, though? Because when I was a teenager, I had Pop-Tarts a fair amount, too. But now I just don't get it anymore.
I kicked the bucket like cold turkey a couple years back. You know, I got to say, enjoyed them through college on occasion. But once I left college, I said, you know, I'm going to kick these things. They're just holding this hammer over my head.
Yeah.
I got to break free and kind of went cold turkey. I think I had one package of Pop-Tarts like a couple months ago for the first time in like years.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, man, these things are dry and they have no flavor.
Yes, that's exactly right. And what's funny is you toast them, obviously. This isn't tasting good enough cold. I just ate them cold. I never even toasted them before.
No, same, yeah.
That seems like ridiculous. Like, just put
too
it in
much
me.
Work.
Put it in yeah. me. But you eat them now, just no matter what you do, it's disappointing. I think if you truly are feeling that nostalgia, you got to go with a
toaster strudel.
Toaster strudel, yeah, that's what I was looking for. Toaster strudel.
Get some of that icing in the bag and squeeze it out on top, man.
It's still like useless though. It's like not sweet for the amount of calories it is. It's just not sweet enough, you know.
Yeah, you're still eating something that's like half burnt on one side and like falling apart.
Yeah.
Or you bite into it and it's scalding hot on the outside, but still freezing cold in the middle.
God, you know, toaster strudel made these breakfast toaster strudels that had like breakfast foods in the pockets.
Yeah.
And they made, you know, I don't really eat meat, so I was looking for frozen food, breakfast foods, if I needed to eat in a go on the hurry. Wow, I said that totally backwards. I needed to eat in the go on the hurry. They were so there was this egg toaster strudel. It was like cheese and egg. It was so flaky and creamy. It was delicious, and they discontinued it.
Ugh, all the good stuff always get discontinued.
Yeah, now I'm stuck with these Pop-Tarts, and I couldn't care less about where my life is headed anymore.
Man, I gotta say, 21 Savage is, I think, uninteresting as a rapper. I don't think his style does a whole lot for me, but he sounds all right here. He's mixing up his flow a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
The beat behind it, I'm probably hating on this more than I should be. This is not the worst track I've heard this year.
It's not the worst track I've heard either. I think there is genuinely little happening in this track, though.
It's the same old content, the same old lyrics. No surprise there. I was talking about cars and women and drugs and money and all that stuff. It's just a variation on a theme they've done time and time again, which is why it's kind of unexciting. But
and the beat just really, really, it's not
static.
Yeah, it's totally static. It's not varying itself up at all, and it's still frustrating to listen to that. It's just as dry as a Pop-Tart. I'll tell you what, you know, when you're young, when you started out, look at this. This is interesting, this flavor. You get a few minutes in, though, and you're like, I'm kind of done with these Pop-Tarts. I think I'm ready for a toaster strudel. I'll put on some Young Thug instead.
Thugger. All right, we got about 1:08 to go. Let's keep this training rolling. Here we go.
I done made a hat chart. Remember I used to chop hard. Living like a rock star. I'm living like a rock star. I've been fucking hoes and popping pillies, man. I feel just like a rock star. All my brothers got that gas and they always be smoking like a rock star. Fucking with me, call up on the Uzi and show up in the shot tops. When my homies pull up on your block, they make that thing go got that top.
That was a good timing. I wish it ended there, but it didn't.
Yeah, I feel that way about most of this stuff.
Yeah.
I'm sure the listener also feels that way about this podcast. You remember the good old days when we talked about Ariana Grande for 2 hours?
Yeah, man. I missed the Ariana Grande special. Let's do another one.
Yeah, I'd love to.
Oh, wait, we've already talked about all of her music.
Yeah. Let's do it again.
Okay. Did you know that 21 used to be a drug dealer and was involved with gang violence? However, the arrival of his debut album, Issa, in July 2017, earned him hits like Bank Account, which peaked at number 12 on the Billboard Hot 100 list.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so mad that there was so little change in the Billboard that we had to go all the way down to number 12 to talk about a song we haven't talked before.
Yeah.
That's really frustrating.
Yeah, I feel like there's so much music that gets released. And it's funny, like, talking to my friends who kind of just don't really think about music, just casually listen to it, whatever is popular, you know, whatever they like in high school. I feel like they truly don't understand the scope of, like, how much stuff is released. Like, when we look for things to cover on this show, we're putting behind almost always dozens and dozens of albums that came out just that week that we wouldn't mind talking about, like seem worthy of a discussion, but there's just not enough time to do everything.
Yeah.
So it's just frustrating to know that, like, the you know, companies, the producers and record labels are able to control the airwaves enough to keep, like, you know, a dozen or so songs on hand, and the thousands of others just go unheard.
It's so insular. You just get trapped inside of it, and you can't escape it.
Yeah. Like the jelly in a Pop-Tart until someone bites into it. That's the revolution.
I don't even know if I would call that jelly. It's like solidified grease. I don't...
Well, technically, Oreos are cookies and cream, right? Would you call that stuff cream?
No, because it doesn't taste good. I like the inside of Oreos.
Okay, well... I guess you're consistent then. I can't take issue with that. I feel like Pop-Tarts are the Oreos of breakfast foods.
You don't like Oreos?
I hate Oreos.
What?
Seriously. No joke.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. I enjoy both with a nice, healthy glass of milk. So maybe that's your problem.
I don't like milk, though.
Yeah. See, that's your thing. That's why.
I always feel like Oreos... If you separate it into parts, yeah. I think everyone would agree those cookies are disgusting.
Yeah, they're not great on their own.
And you take that cream on its own, that's literally just a sugar chemical. It's weird and gross. So, like, what is it?
Roof your mouth.
What is it, then, about an Oreo that's supposed to be good?
It's America's favorite cookie, and you will not disparage this great country by taking the Oreo's name in vain.
Damn you, Oreo. I said it.
Ugh.
I flung my Oreo upside down.
That's a really long outro.
Yeah. The song is quite literally falling asleep.
It's 3.5 minutes long, and we got to have a 40-second outro on this thing?
Yeah. Just all the synthesizers.
I guess it's that time of day now, isn't it? I'm going to have Rockstar Dreams tonight, Post Malone.
Time to put the Post Malone to bed. Come on, PM.
Post Malone needs his post 90.
What's that?
I don't know. We got 8 seconds to go.
Oh, that's spooky. That was spooky at the end there.
He fell down a well. That's what happened. Save me. Do you think that 21 Savage pushed him down a well?
I think he realized he's been falling all along.
Mm.
I think he opened his eyes and realized, I am plummeting.
Self-awareness.
He's the living embodiment of the intro to the television program, Mad Men.
Oh, yeah. Well, what do you think?
You know what? I have nothing to say.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I do think it's better than the last song we heard from this guy. Congratulations,
yes.
I really hated.
Yes, I agree with
but
that.
Also, that's a pretty low bar to clear. That's one of the worst songs of the year.
And, you know, when we were talking about 21 Savage being boring, it's boring. I wouldn't say it's abysmal. Like, congratulations.
Yeah.
So, you know, having him on the track isn't necessarily your worst move either.
Sure. He's gotten his fair bit of attention for 21. And 21, of course.
Of course.
You know, he's really making a 21 name for himself out there.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, thank goodness there's another one. But it's, I don't know. I just can't imagine there's ever going to be a time in my life where I want to hear this song, so I cannot take it on my playlist.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you. Though it's probably pretty close. I think if you mix up the verse and the chorus a bit more, if the feature was a little bit more interesting, this has got some potential on it. It's not quite there, but it's a fledgling track. It's the closest Post Malone may ever come to being pleasing to my ears.
Yeah, I'll say that I feel like it's got the potential. You know, it starts out pretty strong. It's got the potential in it somewhere to not be bad. And I'm not convinced, though, that there's potential in this song that if it was in the state it's in, that it could have been good.
Yeah.
I just think that beat was written, it's like a 4-second loop practically that just goes, you know? So that's not quite enough
sure.
to make a good song.
I'm with you. All right. So there's our thoughts on Post Malone's latest hit, Rockstar. Let's transition here a bit. Mark, I don't have a whole lot else I listened to this week. It's been kind of a busy week for me here, but I do have one thing that came up in my feed that I just had to talk about.
Oh, great. What is it?
You know I'm a big fan of the band Mimicking Birds.
Mm-hmm.
You know that they just dropped a hot new single in anticipation of an album that's coming out in January of 2018?
Uh-oh.
It's called Sunlight Days. Let's play a clip.
Why is life radio waves?
That is my jam right there, man. That is what it's all about.
Yeah. That's pretty
Mimicking
chill.
Birds just gets me in a space that no other band does. They tap into that perfect melancholy that, you know, mid-career Modest Mouse always did for me. I think they're definitely following in their footsteps. You get those existential wanderings. You get that amazing production. Definitely indulging more in the electronica side on this record or this single here. You know, on Eons from a couple years back, they were more experimental in places, trying out some synth work and meshing it with their very traditionally acoustic sound.
Right.
And it's cool to see them kind of like doubling down on that here. They're really going to go for some new stuff and continually try to evolve their sound. I thought the previous album they put out was a huge improvement over their first one, just the way it sounded and the production involved there. And I think this is also a further evolution, man. I'm really excited to see what these guys do.
Yeah. I don't know if I was quite sold on that album that,
you didn't care for it as much as I did.
Yeah, but I would be interested to see. That does sounds very different. I'd be very interested to see where they progress from there.
Well, you know, when we get to January in just a couple of months here, I'm going to be pulling that thing out and saying, Mark, we got to listen to this thing now. We got to talk about this.
Oh, yeah. It's kicking off the year right.
We got to, man. That January is a cold, frozen tundra.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting because usually when I think Mimicking Birds, I think late summer, like August and September.
Not with that song though. That's a chilly winter beat if there ever was one.
That's what I'm telling you, man. I need that ice music. I need that tundra music.
Mm-hmm. I'm there.
Yeah. All right. Do you have anything from this week? That's all I really had.
All right. I'm gonna just pick one here to talk about. I don't really know much of the context behind this album. I know it bangs. I don't know where these folks are from. What you would call this genre of music? It's the band is called Bargo 08. I'm not even going to pretend I know how to say this. Okay.
Okay.
Bargo 08. The album is called Targ. And I'm going to play you a clip from a track called Mam Chout. You can hear it, understand that word inside and out. And I want you to tell me how you think about it.
All right.
Guy's going nuts on the flute.
He's killing it.
He's losing it.
At first, I was reminded of the first car I ever had. Had just a cassette player inside it. Just no CD player, just a cassette player.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to record my CDs onto tape cassettes to take with me, so I would have an option there. But the cassette player is also really old, and every now and then when you put a tape in, it would play it at like four times the speed of what it was supposed to be. And so like the opening to that song reminded me of like going in and like having to restart the tape player because whatever song I was trying to play was coming in four times as fast as it should have been. It was ridiculous and crazy.
Yeah.
That's insane. But then when that Indian vocal comes in, man, holy cow, that's some power, man. That's rad. I like that.
Is that Indian?
Is it? I just assumed it was like Hindi or something. I don't know.
That's the thing. As I was listening to this, I thought, wow, I sure could use to learn about this culture and know more about it without ever questioning myself, well, what is this culture? I don't know what I'm listening to. I do know one thing. This album absolutely bangs. I love thinking about this flute man and how you just go in a hog wild on whatever that is.
That's shredding right there, man.
Like, you know that guy's just in constant motion. You know he's just wiggling. He's losing it. He's like an infant. He can't stop moving his body all around. He's just going nuts.
And he's jacked. Muscular, you know?
And what's
like Terry Crews playing the flute.
That's such a good image. That's a really good image.
He's like, if you had Old Spice body wash, but you were a flute player, what would it smell like? It would smell like that sounds.
Yeah. I'm going to just pick the track Waza.
Yes.
How do you think Waza is spelled?
W-A-Z-Z-A-H?
No A-A, but you were so close.
Oh, nice.
Here's what the middle of that sounds like.
Oh,
telling you.
That is rad. That is what I need in my life right now.
I was writing an article that I was working on to send to places, and I put that album on, I swear to you, almost full volume, with not knowing what it was, and I listened to it the full length three times, like a 45-minute album. I put the album on a loop and just blared it into my soul.
Just sat inside of that space for a little while.
Yeah, I can't recommend it enough. One more time, it's called, the artist called Bargao 08. The album is called Targ. No idea what any of it is, but I sure did love it.
How do you spell Targ?
T-A-R-G.
T-A-R-G?
Yeah.
Targ.
What a magical world music is.
That's incredible. Thank you for sharing that with me. Let me share something with you, Mark, which is my pick for next week. I did listen to one other thing this week, but I didn't get enough listens into it, and there's nothing else better coming out next week. So guess what? You and I are talking about the newest album from Shania Twain, Now.
Oh, boy.
Get ready for a crazy time, bud.
You know what? I am 100% ready to dig into some Shania Twain. Should I listen to any other Shania Twain to prepare?
Yeah, I was going to say, are you a fan of hers?
I don't know anything about Shania Twain.
Okay, what you got to do then? You got to listen to the album Come On Over.
Okay.
That is the one that put her on the map. It's like one of the best-selling albums in country music of all time. Got almost all her big hits on there. It's I think, I'm really intrigued to maybe have a conversation about that album with you on this podcast, because I'm pulling on all my nostalgia strings as a young kid growing up listening to that. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like I'm kind of beyond review at this point.
Yeah.
But I'd like to know, my question is, like, how different sounding is her new stuff compared to her old stuff? You know, it's hard for me to really say, because the brain that's listening to the new stuff now is very different than the brain that listened to the old stuff way back when. And if you could do both at the same time, I'd be intrigued to have a conversation about that.
You're always in a state of being intrigued.
I'm always intrigued.
That's like
that's why I have a podcast.
That's your neutral state.
Yeah.
Every time I see you, you're raising one eyebrow and you're pausing to reflect.
So let's talk about Now next week on the show.
Do you know she was on that last episode of Broad City?
No way.
Yeah. It's like called like the personal Twainer or something, because Abby Jacobson is training her.
Literally Shania Twain?
She plays herself, yeah.
That's rad.
And there's a moment where she is trying to give Abby relationship advice, and it works, and Abby runs off, and then Shania Twain realizes what she said, makes a really good song lyric, and immediately records vocals into her iPhone and goes, "God damn it, I'm good."
She's not wrong. But this is a big one. Her first album in 15 years, big release from a pop sensation, I think worth having a conversation about. Mark, the Billboard has also spoken to us, and the song that you and I will be discussing next week is coming in at slot 1, 2, 3, 4, one that I have definitely been intrigued to talk about.
Okay.
It's 1-800-273-8255 by Logic, featuring Alicia Cara and Khaled.
Wow, okay, let's do it. Let's get into it.
I'm really excited to talk about that thing.
Yeah. Logic.
Are you a big Logic fan?
You know, I actually don't know anything about Logic.
Yeah, me either. People keep telling me he's great.
Trustworthy people?
No.
See, there you go.
That's what I get. Of course, this month, we also get some St. Vincent coming out here pretty soon.
Oh, crap. I didn't realize that was happening so soon.
That's next week.
Get a lot of young yoga legs.
Yes. I'm all about that.
Young yoga legs.
Los Angeles?
No.
Oh, dude. It's going to be good.
I've been deep inside a Targ brainstorm. That's yeah. Almost 2.5 hours straight. I listened to that.
Of that. You came out the other side, a changed man.
Mm-hmm. Full of energy and vigor.
Yeah. All right. Well, that is going to do it for us on this week of Weekly Beats. We thank you for tuning in and spending the afternoon or the morning or the evening with us. It's just been a pleasure. We hope you've gained some exciting new artists to add to your playlist. Maybe if it is just Targ, I think you're in for a crazy ride. Do us a favor. Check us out on the social medias, on the Facebooks, on the whatever else you find. Do your duty to your podcast. Subscribe to the show. Send us a review. We love a getting 5-star review. We love you. We'll see you next week for Shania Twain and Logic, a pairing that has never before been discussed in podcast history.
Breaking another record.
But that's how we do it here at Weekly Beats.
You're all very pretty today.
Noni is waving her pretty flag.
Oh, it is very pretty. It's got kittens on it.
She made it herself.
She giggles like she's a Japanese schoolgirl, and I find that very charming.
Without making any sound.
Yep.
She just puts her hand over her mouth and shrugs her shoulders back and down really quick.
But if you listen very, very close, just the tiniest hee-hee, just the tiniest, teensy-tiniest hee-hee, you can hear it if you listen close.
And if you listen even closer, you can hear her say, Obama.
It's beneath everything.
It's beneath it all. It's just a constant drone. It's so low, we can't even hear it.
It emanates from her carapace.
Yes. That'll do it for this week. Until next time, play that outro music.